What is a man? That's the question we're going to be asking today, and we're going to find the answer, or we're going to get blackout drunk. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hey now, hey now.
All right.
Homeless Mike in the house.
What's up? How are you?
Big John in the house.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Tony Gump, as always. We have promoted this show here for a few days. And I got to be honest, this was not even my idea. This was y'all's idea. You guys pitched this to me at a station event.
The Christmas party.
Was it a Christmas party?
Yep, I came to you at the Christmas party.
You said, we should do a podcast. And normally, and I told Tony this before we started, I said, 99 times out of 100, if somebody pitches a podcast idea to me, I shut it down immediately. Yep. I'm not. I'm just, I don't like it. I don't like people coming up with ideas.
Wait a minute. Let's back it up. 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100, that's...
Yeah, it's the
still
same.
99. I mean, 9 out of 10, right?
Well, no. 99 out of 100.
It's not
was like 9.9 out of 10. Okay.
Yeah.
I did math, not math.
Yeah. You didn't get it, math. So, yeah, people pitch ideas to me all the time. And I'm like, I don't really give it a lot. But when you threw that one at me, I was like...
I have a way of doing things. And I came in nice and slick, too.
That's not a bad idea.
But you got to think, the way that I approached you... with everything that's going on right now, mm-hmm. that's what sparks it.
Yeah.
Because of the atmosphere of the world that we're living in, when you get somebody walking up to you and they want to talk about what being a man is in today's society and how we're just not appreciated for being men anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's what kind of gets you, I do want to talk about that, because nobody's talking about it right now.
Well, it was kind of car salesman-ish, and I was already convinced I was buying a car. But no, seriously, it was a good idea. Before we get into it, I guess I need to get a little backstory from you guys. Since Homeless is being Mr. Cool Guy over here with his glasses, we'll start with...
I wear my sunglasses.
Well, yeah, I mean, Homeless Mike is technically a rock star, if you will. So we'll let it pass.
Yeah.
Big John, brief backstory on who you are. By the way, we've known each other for over 15 years.
Longer than that, buddy.
How long did you guys know each other before y'all knew me?
Yes, I knew, I've known
the Southern. Yeah. I know that we need that backstory.
That introduction.
We can go there. So the first time that I actually met Mr. Homeless Mike over here was going to a friend's house that lived next to you in Pinson. And I think I was 16 years old, and, I had another friend of mine that was in the same band as he was, and he's introducing me to everybody. Well, we're driving around this curve coming to the house, and this naked person jumps out of the bushes in the middle of the road, and I had to hit the brakes, and just wags his thing at me and turns around in nothing but combat boots and a smile and starts running down the street. And my friend goes, follow him, because he's going to the house.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
Man, that is very believable, by the way.
Yeah, his nickname before Homeless Mike was Naked Mike.
Okay. Well, and I dubbed you Homeless Mike because I kind of entered the picture at what could be considered a weird time in all of our lives, because there was a lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
So that's how we got to know each other.
That's saying it lightly.
So we, this was 15 plus years, I guess. We all kind of got together and the same group of people. I just happened to live, and I think I met you guys before I knew the lead singer of the band you guys were in lived down the street from my house. I mean, literally like two houses down. So we were all kind of generally in the same area, and it caused us to party a lot together.
It's gravity.
Go to shows together, because you were in a band called Victim of Thought at that time.
Yeah.
By the way, maybe the best metal band to ever come out of Birmingham.
So raw.
I missed the relentlessness.
It was just raw emotion. And maybe it was the drugs. Maybe it was the alcohol.
Yeah.
But, you know,
maybe
there would be...
being a man.
Maybe it was being a band. But here's the thing. It almost had Gigi Allen vibes with a little bit of new age metal.
I feel it.
Because you can go back, and I don't know if any of you guys have photos of this, but there were photos out there of the lead singer, Scott.
Yep.
Love Scott. And he's on stage with blood gushing out of his head while performing.
Yeah. That night, he actually jumped off of the drum riser.
Hit his head
and hit his head on the I-beam, yeah. Yep.
And just kept
and
going.
Just kept yep. going.
Kept going.
He didn't even know that he was bleeding until one of the women in the crowd reached up with a shirt and wiped his face off.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
What a nice lady. So, Homeless Mike, just so everybody, because I've brought you up on the show before, and there's probably a lot of people that wonder what Homeless Mike is or where that came from, and it's just simply yes. you lived in my basement for a minute.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
At another weird point in your life.
Yes.
Which is fine, because we're all family. Anybody needs a basement, yeah. You know, we got them covered. And
you got
now,
my couch anytime you need it, brother.
You're one, and this is why the Be a Man thing or what is a man, is I think so appropriate for us, because we've all kind of been at a point, like when we met, people probably looked at us and said, those guys are never going to amount to anything. And we have all three come pretty damn successful. So through everything we've been through, each one of us does different things. Obviously, radio. You work in the construction business. You're big time. You work in the, what is it?
It's construction. Yeah. It's utility construction.
Yes. Yeah. And you're still doing music.
Yeah. I dabble.
Respect on that, by the way, because a lot of people, when they don't reach what their definition of success is in whatever field it is, music is a really big one. They just quit.
Well, and there's an age too where people convince themselves, oh, I'm X number of years old, it's too late for me to continue to chase what I wanted to chase.
So I battle that. Like, I legitimately battle that on a daily basis, and I'm at the point now where it's too late for me to emerge as a rock star.
Yeah.
I'm never going to give up music. Music's my passion. It touches me in ways.
Not inappropriately, but
well,
like,
sometimes it's, no, that's, yeah, no, we're not going there.
Okay.
Same feeling.
But so, and you were talking about being successful and being a mm-hmm. rock star. You know, I'm a rock star in my own mind, and some people see me as a ex-rock star or wanting to live a life, but I do what I do, and I love it. You know, I do the cover stuff.
Right.
And it's just something that brings me joy. I don't expect anything to come from it. I just enjoy doing it. I have the means and the access to the equipment and machinery to make it happen.
Yeah,
so,
being a grown-up and making grown-up money
nice
gives
part.
You the ability yes. to do this stuff. Like we didn't have the ability to buy stuff like that back
or
then.
Or to build a studio.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Those things weren't possible back then.
Props to Big John. He helped me build the studio.
There you go. So you, what are your latest projects? I think your most notable latest project, because I don't even know how many bands you're in at this point.
Yes.
There's like 20 of them.
Yes.
You want to just list them for us real quick. Give us a list.
All right. So right now it's Torcon 11.
Not just the ones that are currently doing. I just the last 10 years. Give me the names of the bands.
Oh God, this is a 1 hour format,
year
right?
Year day. I've stood in Redline. Not Redline. I stood in Another Hero for a show or two. I've played in Redline Superstar, Among the Vein, Cold Halo. God, I love Cold Halo. And then the new Torcon 11.
Let's look at Torcon 11. Okay, I want to explain to everybody. This is, I didn't know anything about it. And he says, essentially, it's something we're calling Weathercore. And
didn't even know it was a thing.
I was like, okay, whatever. So, just send me the music.
Let me explain to you how this got dropped on me, right? So, my buddy Brad Harden, the singer for Torcon, he would chat back and forth on the FaceSpace, and he was sending me a message, and he sent me just a link to this music, and I played it, and I'm like, damn, bro, that shit, like from the hook, like there was no vocals or anything to it at that point. It was just the music, and I'm like, that's bad, right? And then he sent me a link with he had the vocals and stuff on it. So I had no writing in this song. This song was pre-Franklin. We've got some other stuff that's not released yet. Well, there's some YouTube stuff, but it's not out on Spotify yet. But this stuff, man, it just he was like, hey, listen, you like this? I'm like, yeah, I do. He said, you want in on it? Yeah, I do.
You know what happened is they saw you, they knew you were a musician. They said, this guy kind of looks like James Spann, because that's what happens. In this video.
Did he not look just like James Spann?
In this video, everybody in the band is dressed like James Spann. So, Tony, let's check out a couple minutes of this. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, it's really good.
It's like jamming.
It. Yeah, it's jamming, dude. It really
Weathercore.
Is.
Weathercore.
St. Clair County right now.
If you're from Alabama, you will appreciate this.
Milo's. If you're anywhere near there, go to your place of safety. We've got some radar-indicated rotation. Things are about to get heavy!
I'm ready for the sound.
Respect the polygon!
If that ain't some man shit, I don't know what is, buddy. I love the fact that everybody started out with their sleeves rolled up.
Yeah. Do the suspenders come down by the end of the video?
Yes. Yeah, they do. They fall off.
Did anybody attempt to get this to James Spann?
Yeah, so it has been sent to him. Brad's got some kind of connection with him. It's been sent to him. He's seen it. I don't know what the response was. But so the band originated from Furnace Fest. All right? I don't know if you're familiar with Furnace Fest. It's a hardcore music festival in Birmingham. It's Lost. And so Brad had this meme, right? It started as a meme, and they photoshopped James' body onto a stage, and you got this crowd going crazy out there, and it just says, respect the polygon.
Yeah.
And so the band started from that, and it kind of went somewhere.
Interesting. So if people want to see that, just look up Tarkon.
Torcon 11.
Torcon. So it's not Tarkon, it's Torcon.
Like a torque wrench.
Yeah, no, not like torque wrench, like the Torcon scale.
Oh,
you know? Yeah.
Damn, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I don't know what the Torcon scale is.
How are you from Alabama and you don't know what
James Spann has explained this several times over your lifetime, I promise.
The F1 to F5 deal?
No, this is like it goes to Torcon 10, right? That's like, oh my God, it's about to happen.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
So we went one more. You know, kind of like Jackson 5, and then we were the Jackson 6. We went
God.
One more.
Jackson 5.
So I got a question. The turn it up to 11 thing, is that because of the Blue Voodoo amps from back in the day, or where did that come from? Do you know?
The turn it up to 11 come from the not Spine Shank, it's some old movie, man. It's an old rock and roll movie.
But you know, that's like the whole thing. Is the reason why the 11 is there. It's one more than what it's actually supposed to go to.
Yeah.
So our metal, like Victim of Thought back in the day, it had a line in the song, turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
Because just what you did. God, we did that with everything, too.
VOT is so good.
And you're still doing it, brother.
You know what's funny is I'm on Facebook the other day, and everybody knows P. Ooh. Diddy. Everybody's familiar with my 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
on his
14-year-old going on 21.
On his little story, his Facebook story is a screenshot of VOT on Spotify. He's listening
that.
To VOT.
Dude, I saw that.
I teared up a little bit.
Yeah,
I got it too.
So
I was like, oh, that's so awesome.
Well, because it's kind of sad for me. Well, you know, I've got girls.
Right.
Which I do think that somebody in the universe knew what they were doing when they gave me girls, because I think I probably would have just I would have fucked up. I couldn't be in this man's situation and have all boys. But I saw that and I'm like, thank God that some kid from this generation is still appreciating good music, because I listen to what my kids listen to, and I mean, I do like it.
But. Well, he's a big rap fan. He's a big Kanye West fan. I know Kanye West is a controversial figure, and you know, my kid knows Hitler's bad and all that kind of stuff, but still appreciates Kanye West's music. But I brought him up before he started kind of picking his own stuff on metal, on heavy rock, and so that's kind of where his foundation is. Like us growing up, our parents had us listening to country and stuff like that.
Right.
My kids are going to be...
My parents had me listening to oldies.
Well, yeah, oldies are country.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so
all the...
Homeless brought us some whiskey.
Well, yeah, what is this?
And hold on. We got to have a backstory on this.
Here you go.
This looks... I cheated you. Yeah, I was about to say, you saw me sliding my cup over, motherfucker.
Now, what is...
Are we gonna, Lord, these are a lot.
Is this how much you don't shoot it?
This is not shooting. This is sipping whiskey. This is man shit.
All right, so, what do we got?
This is Angel's Envy. It's this is the finished rye, right? So this is a whiskey that, or a bourbon, a rye whiskey, whatever. Some people, you know, like the big go getters are like, oh, it's not bourbon, it's rye.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. So this right here is probably one of my favorite ryes. I had a friend introduce me to it. And ever since then, I have this is my go-to.
Can I see that bottle, bro?
It's not a bottle I'll buy a whole lot, because it's a little pricey. It's not stupid pricey, but I've had
a little snobbish.
It's 100 proof.
Yeah.
It tastes pricey.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
I like
a little
the wings
over 100.
On the back. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Be honest with us. How much is it?
Well, at an undisclosed package store by my house, it was $127, which is a little high.
That is a lot.
But well, usually you can get it about $100, $110. So they're a little higher on their prices. But
so you don't go to the ABC store?
They don't carry the rye. They have the bourbon, but they don't have the rye.
It's got little angel wings on the back.
Can I show the camera here?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
Beautiful.
Look how big Homeless Mike's head is behind the bottle.
All right, so Tony Gump's tried it. He says it tastes pricey.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I'm going to taste a little bit of this.
All right, who's next? I'll go last.
Cheers,
I'll give
fellas.
The grand
Cheers,
finale
fellas.
Here. Smells good. Oh, yeah.
I'm all warm inside now.
It does immediately give you a warm feeling.
That is extremely smooth.
I love that.
It really is.
I feel like a man right now.
I love being
you should.
A man.
You're on the official man podcast. So what is what is a man? That's the question. What is Tony Gump, what is the technical definition of what is man? What is a man? An adult male human being.
That gives you a whole lot to go off of.
That is very descriptive.
Yep.
It's very simple.
To you, Big John, if somebody asks you that question, Link, what is a man? What do you say to him?
I think that being a man is a verb. Number one, I don't think it's a descriptor. I think it's an action. For me, it's being a lot of things. It's being a protector. It's being a provider. It's being a good friend, a good human being, a helper. There's so many things, but I do feel like it's more of a verb than it is a description, because I think that people get lost along the way thinking that they have to be what other people tell them they're supposed to be. So their definition of what a man is what everyone else is telling them that a man should be. And I think that's something that should come from within. And you just know that I am a man. This is who I am. This is what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah. There's a battle going on in society among the male race, I guess you could say, about that very definition, because they're attempting to change it every day. Feminizing men, everything else. And so the societal standards of what is a man have changed drastically from where they were when we were growing up. It drastically changed from even the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, it's moved from, I think if you're just going to tag one word to it, when we were growing up, a man would be described as provider.
Yeah.
And now it's more like that word should be, society says it should be described as sensitive or caring or understanding.
No.
Which should be the case in one aspect, but that's not the primary role. What's your definition of what is a man?
I mean, OBJ here, he kind of hit it on the head. You know, it's more of a verb. It's an action. It's doing what you have to do to get ahead. It's being that man that sets a good example. Being fathers. We want to be that good example, and that's being a man. So I'm, you know, you've got it a little harder. I've got the three boys I've raised, The youngest being, what is he, Hill, 18, fixing to be
19.
Yeah,
you're on the back end.
I'm on the back end. So, but you're in it in today's society.
It's getting weird.
And
it's getting weird.
Yeah, man, and I feel bad for you because I thought I had it bad, but you don't. And you're having to, like, as the kids were growing up, Jet was still young enough to where when they were ripping down the statues and stuff, I'm like, dude, this is stupid. And I wanted to make sure he understood. I said, those people are pissed off at a statue for something that makes no freaking sense. None whatsoever. I said, we do not get pissed off at statues. But being a man is being that role model, setting something into motion for the future men.
Right.
Well, you guys, y'all all have boys. So I have to deal with this generation of younger men because I have girls.
Yeah.
And I get to see a lot of them. And I think I'm very lucky that my my oldest daughter has actually found someone that that I actually respect.
Right.
Because I can tell that his parents, especially his father, has been a good role model to him. And listen, here's the thing. I'm not saying that a woman can't be a strong role model for a child, but I am saying that a woman can't be a man for a child.
No.
There's just like a man can't be a woman for a child. And so in today's society where you have a lot of broken homes and you have a lot of absentee fathers and things like that, you see a lot of feminism in these younger generation of boys. And I see it more with my younger daughter, who's 14, because that's where we're really starting to hit this space and time, kind of like the people that P. Diddy would be associated with. A lot of them come from broken homes, and they only have a mother figure to try and help them figure out this world of manhood and being a young man. And
yeah, P. Diddy goes to a smaller school district, so if there's a troubled kid, it's pretty easy to find out who it is and kind of get that speech in there and say, hey, don't be hanging out with this kid, you know, because he's bad news and I know where this goes. But we can't. The importance of a mom and a dad is the most important thing in a kid's life, like bar none. And not every circumstance is going to be like that. Every circumstance, whether it's a broken home or one parent's a piece of shit or whatever, you know, there's just different scenarios for everybody. And you're the only one at this table that's only been married once.
Yep.
But we have gotten it right the second time.
No, hold on.
You got it right.
My
second time
was a huge fuck up.
Okay. So I got it right the second time.
Who was number two?
That was Angela.
Oh, yeah.
That was,
okay, yeah, I remember. Yeah,
that one doesn't count.
Though. I'll drink to that.
So one time, two times.
How does it not count?
Three times.
Three.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm.
But
absolutely.
What was amazing is even before you and Aubie got married, you were still raising three boys on your own, which is, I mean, I don't think Big John and I could really fathom that.
No,
but
respect, dude.
Where the boys, the most important parent for boys is going to be the dad, but it still doesn't replace what a mother figure would be in that scenario. And it's because it takes both. If you're missing one or the other, there's going to be something missing for that kid. And it's why the family structure is so important. I don't think any of us are in favor of divorce and thinks divorce is a good thing.
No.
But if you can end up in a scenario where both parents are on the same page and everything else, make the best of a situation, that's good. But nothing replaces like mom and dad being there from the beginning to the end. And not just that, but the roles that they play, actually be good parents that guide these kids in the direction that they need to, because it ends up affecting other people. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if parents aren't teaching their boys to be men, well, guess what? Those boys aren't going to try to date your daughters. And then they're your problem.
Yeah. So. Which I do take the opportunity when I realize that this young man hasn't had a strong male role model in his life to, you know, let him know, hey, that 14-year-old girl that you're trying to date can field strip an AR-15, and you know, she's probably more of a man than you are, just being honest. But I take the opportunity to try and help and guide, if, especially if they don't have that in their life. But speaking to that married one time thing, I do feel like some of that kind of goes along with what we're talking about. You know, that's not easy.
You guys know,
like, that's not easy. And to stay married for as long as I've been married the very first time, it's work. And that doesn't mean that we haven't come all the way to the brink.
Right.
And decided that,
whether you made it out alive or not, right, it is a fight for your life to stay together. And still being with your first wife means you won that fight.
Yep.
Well, for me and Homeless, we did not win that fight.
It's still a daily thing, though.
Well,
you know?
I got married young. I got married stupid young. I was 19 when me and the youngest boy's mom.
Who is your youngest, by the way?
My youngest is Jet. So Jet and Cage, they're with another woman.
I knew this was going to happen with the whiskey. He's leaning further and further to the right. It's going to be off camera in a minute.
JFK back.
Yeah, JFK over here.
So they're with from another mother, where Jacob, my oldest boy. Me and his mom were never married. It was one of those things. Hell, I didn't know Jacob was even fucking born until he was 6 months old.
Really? Your oldest?
How crazy is that?
So we had heard, this was back during MySpace days, right?
Right.
So my mom had seen on Stacy's profile that she had just had a baby or whatever, and mom's like, hey, is this your son? And I'm like, I don't know.
Dang. How old are you at this time?
Wow. Dude, I was 21, I guess. Maybe a little younger than that, but we'll see. Something like that. But he was 6 months when he came into my life.
Yeah.
But so his mom, Stacy, did a lot of the raising for him, and she's still pretty jam up job.
Okay, so just to understand the scenario and kind of add to the picture here, three boys,
yes,
from two different mothers. Okay, the first one is one mom, and the other two are another mom.
Yes.
Okay.
The other two are,
and then so my second wife, we had no kids together. My third wife is Amber, and we never had kids. Like she wanted kids, and. So
you got to be shooting blanks at this point.
Well,
how old are you?
I don't. I'm 28. I don't know. But
how many times?
So she wanted kids, and when we got together, I'm like, man, God Almighty, you know. So my plan worked.
You had to start all over.
It worked, by the way. But my plan was to, well, she's in the picture. She's going to help raise these boys, and she'll see.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. It'd been a couple years into it. She's like, yeah, I don't want no fucking
kids.
We're on the downhill.
Yeah. You start in the teenage years. That'll discourage anybody from having kids.
So, Amber, she was in the picture a long time. Like, we were on and off for years.
Yeah.
Which, props to Amber, by the way. That is a solid, solid woman.
Yeah.
Especially to put up with this man.
That's a real MVP right there.
Yeah.
Every good, cheers to Amber here.
Yeah, here you go. Hey now, cheers to you, babe.
Yeah, every good man has a way better woman behind him, I promise.
No, I straight lucked up with her.
I would say never say never. You know, you guys could adopt like an African baby or something.
It's not happening.
One day.
It's not happening.
You never know.
We got two dogs.
You got big ass dogs.
Yeah. If I adopt, though, I want to see some stats. I need to see like 40-yard dash time.
Yeah.
No, that's not adopting.
Oh,
that we did away with that years ago.
That's recruiting, baby. Roll Tide.
You can't do that anymore, Tom.
That's recruiting, and it's NIL season now, so it gets a little dicey. You can make money on the front end. You can make money in college. You don't have to wait on the NFL.
No, it's crazy.
So,
how do you like this cup, Andrew?
Where did your wife make that?
No.
Who made that?
Roll Tide.
His wife.
Yes. Well, I don't know.
Are they married?
I don't think they're married.
Might as well be.
Come on, Roll Tide, be a man.
Be a man.
Jessica
sent
me this just because I said that I really liked it. I didn't pay for it at all. She just, it's beautiful.
It's nice. It's good work.
I mean, championship. A
couple coaches that aren't in the picture anymore.
Hey, they're still around.
So I got a question.
He's still around.
Like, we were asked, Andrew, what's a man to you?
Yeah.
What is a man? I think kind of just what you guys were saying in the sense of, you know, provider, a somebody that supports his family. It's easy to get caught up in the idea that a man's number one role is guiding the kids on the right path, doing that dad role. But also, and I've learned this through, you know, I was married for 12 years before we got divorced, and going the second time around, you realize a lot of your mistakes, and you're able to convince yourself that you made mistakes so you can then turn around and do them the right way the next time. And the other aspect is being supportive and understanding of your partner. Especially if that's there deep. Are kids involved.
Yep.
It really comes down to learning from your mistakes. Yep. You know,
especially when those kids are not both of y'all's kids. They come right. from previous marriages.
Well, and you've got to, you know, divorce is ugly.
Yep.
And it's ugly for good reason, because it's bad. It's not a good thing.
No.
And when you get divorced, both parents view themselves as doing no wrong, because all your energy is put into what they did wrong.
Yep.
And so it's easy to get caught in that cycle, and then you move into single life for the first time in your adult life.
How scary is that, by the way?
Oh, it was brutal, and it was just weird. And then when you get in another relationship, you're trying to transition back again, and it's just the whole thing about divorce is bad. But if you do it right, like we did, then it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, because you guys actually are like friends now, right?
Oh, yeah. Peyton's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess. I mean,
well, you're not enemies. Yeah.
I mean, that's just fine. I call her from time to time. You know, yeah.
Listen, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be
worse.
Yeah, no, she could be doing dope or anything. Oh.
That.
Well, yeah.
You see, that's true.
Yeah.
No, we're definitely on good terms, and that's one thing that was a priority is, hey, you got to be on good terms to be able to parent. Like, there was a situation. Peter is a teenager, all right? He wanted to do X, Y, and Z this weekend. Mm. She was telling him, you know, you have to do this, and he was fighting her on it. And she's like, I don't know what to do. He won't do X, Y, and Z. And she says, well, you do something about it. Yeah. So I hit him up. I didn't even have to call him. I texted him. I said, you're going to do X, Y, and Z this weekend. But I don't want to. I want to stay here. I said, you don't have a choice. Yep. And then that was it. He never texted me back. Next thing I know, he's at the house and nothing was said of it. Because that is the role of a dad,
yep.
to be that stern figure. And he understands he's not a bad kid. He doesn't get in trouble. He doesn't fight all the time. But he knows, like, if dad says you don't have a choice, then you don't have a choice. Where with mom, you can haggle and negotiate and everything else.
I get that from my wife all the time. Why do they argue with me?
Yeah.
Why do they not argue with you? How come when you say no, they don't?
It's the authority.
It's
like we possess authority. Amber's had the same issues. It's been, you know, hey, this has happened. You know, they're not listening to me. You handle it. And I walk in there, dad voice, and then boom, problem solved.
Well, the way I explain it to her is, but then I am an absolute. And I'm like, think of the way that we exist with each other and how we respond to each other. I am an absolute. I am a very strong, confident male, right? And when I say something, you can take it to the bank. Whether that's yes, no, if I tell, it doesn't matter. So when they ask me a question, the answer they get is an absolute. And they know that. They know there's no change in his mind.
Yeah.
I'm open to a discussion, and they know this. I'm open to a discussion, and if you have a logical, thought-out reason why I should change my mind, then lay it out.
Hear them out.
But they also know from past experience, you better be ready for a full-on debate, because I'm not just going to accept because I want to, or because I don't want. No, I need to know why I need to change my mind.
They know whether or not they've got a logical excuse,
yep.
or reasoning for
and that's why they don't
argue. And so they don't.
They don't.
They know at the end of the day we don't negotiate with terrorists. And you're the terrorist at that point.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so it's in the story. And it's got to be incredibly frustrating for females. I get it. But they know, kids know, boys and girls, that there's always wiggle room because of the female being an emotional creature.
Yeah.
It could be a mom, could be a stepmom, could be a grandma, whatever. Right. They know that
looking
there's
for
that
bananas.
Wiggle room. And then looking for bananas. And when you come in there and you're like, here's what's going to happen, they may say, I don't want to do it once. But when you tell them, I didn't ask you if you wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what you're going to do. Then that's it. They know.
Yep.
They just know. And so it's... Again, got to be frustrating for the females, but it's just, it's genetics.
Well, and I see my wife trying to figure this out, too. I see her, she's trying, and I'm trying to help her, but there's something that is missing, and it's the fact that once you lose that level of respect, right, or that level of understanding between the person you're dealing with, whether mm-hmm. it's your child or a fellow worker, or once you lose that, just like on a job site, right? So I'm a superintendent for a very big construction firm, and I handle a lot of big accounts. If I lose that absolute, that is the guy that makes the decisions. And if he says that's the way we're doing it, that if I ever lose that, I can't get it back.
It's hard, dude.
You know that.
It is so hard.
I can't get it back. So one of the things about being a confident man is being confident in yourself and those decision making things. And it's so I try to explain to her, it's not something that you can act out. It's not something that you can just change. It's you. It's your being. It's everything about you.
Well, see, so you brought up something, though, man. There's that fine line right there that can make you seem like an ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's that fine line, and it's confident and cocky.
Yeah,
there, absolutely. And as a man, you got to know it's okay to touch that line. You can dance on that line, but the moment you cross that line, that's
so
you're an ass.
I kind of go to the extremes on things because you know me. I'm an all or nothing kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
So and I take it to the concept of something like if this was the end of the world, right? If this was the apocalypse, am I going to negotiate with all of you about what needs to happen, or am I going to take charge and make you follow me? Knowing that I am the leader of this pack and knowing exactly what we need to do, right? I'm not going to second guess myself.
Well, and biology lays it out that way. I mean, you are automatically the leader of the pack. And as long as you play that role in that kid's upbringing, then they understand that it doesn't mean women are doing anything wrong.
No, not at all.
Biology and the way kids are growing up. That's another aspect is how you treat your wife is going to teach your kid how to treat his future wife or his future husband.
Yes,
and that was, I didn't fully understand that. You know, I tried to be the best dad that I could, and I was always present, never missed sports games, blah, blah, blah. But I don't necessarily know the example that I set. It seems like a lifetime ago, but I legitimately don't remember. I'm going to guess it was not the best example. And now I try to rectify it a little bit by, you know, doing things the way I'm supposed to do it. But that's, I think that may be a lot of things that men don't think about. Like, everything you do, even when it's not related to your kid, when you're not, it's not direct interaction with your kid, like, they're watching you. And I know it sounds cliche
that these eyes
are always watching you, but they really are.
Do you ever find yourself, like, trying to overcompensate for your shitty past you had with the kid? Like, I did that for a while, and that's another one of those lines, man. You dance with the devil at that point because you're trying to be that leader and be that good example, but you're also, you're trying to be a friend where you got to be dad at the same time.
Yeah, that happens, especially with divorced people because how hard it is on your kid to get divorced, and you're like, well, he didn't deserve that. That wasn't his fault. That was my decision. And so, you kind of go that route and you try to compensate, I guess, or say, you know, I guess I can cut him some slack because I put him through this.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, I know one thing. speaking to how you treat your wife, marriage is not 50-50. Anybody that thinks that marriage is 50-50 doesn't understand marriage, because there's going to be days that all you can give at your maximum is 20. And you got to have somebody that's strong enough as a partner that can say, I'll pick up that 30.
I got the 80.
I got your 80. Yeah. I got your 80. And the thing is, where relationships tend to fall apart is when somebody continuously gives that 20 and they feel like that's all they can give and that's all they can do. And they feel like they're doing their maximum, but it's not. It's 20. And the other person is picking up that 30 all the time. That's when marriages don't work.
Yeah.
It is not 50-50. It's never been equal. So,
but what if that person is, what if that 20 is all that person can give?
Yeah, like what if you're married to a midget and all they've got is 20%?
No, it's little people.
Little people.
Is that the correct term? I don't know.
You're only going to get 20% out of a dwarf, I mean, at the end of the day.
They can only take 20% or they can only...
Ooh, easy.
Well, they can only give 20%, but they can only take 20%.
I don't know, but Andrew's had a good close-up of a dwarf.
I actually... I didn't pee my pants, but I dribbled a little bit watching... You,
Mike, the Midge story.
Talk about the. Oh my God! Yeah. I went. Why have I not heard this story?
Oh, yes, I don't like to bring it up. It's traumatizing.
I'd kind of like to hear it again if you don't mind.
Do you mind? Just briefly, because I don't want to go into it. So, do an Uber, pick up a guy. He's a midge. He's in a wheelchair. Pick him up.
Oh, that story! Yes, oh my God! I was drawing a blank for a minute.
It's
great.
So, pick him up. I'm taking him to the City Federal Building. We're talking blah blah blah. We get there. I open the door, going to get out. Wheelchair doesn't reach to the thing, to the car where he can just scoot out. So he looks at me, and he essentially says, you're going to pick me up.
And so you get a tip for that, by the way?
I got a tip, all right. So I picked him. I had to pick him up. You know, I debated with myself for a while. I was like, I don't want to do it. But I pick him up. I go to do a 180 to get him in the chair that's behind me, and his pants drop to his ankles. He's not wearing underwear, nothing. And I'm holding a naked little person at noon on Saturday, like Simba from the Lion King.
Broad daylight.
Until the sun glistened
off of it.
Yes. So I toss him in his wheelchair. He pulls his pants up. He's like, oh, I forgot my belt. You know, it's no big deal to him. And then he wheeled off.
Oh,
and I just stood there looking down the street like.
Just got a face full
my
of.
My life just got changed.
Face God, full of. Little
and the so proportion, great, by the way, I don't know if this is. Regular size, like I don't know if him and I had a side by side, it would just be like, oh, okay, well, you're just like me. But this dude looked like a horse.
But if
third
he,
leg, huh?
But
I was like, about as long as his leg. Yeah.
If he's just like you, then proportion wise, he's huge.
That's what I'm saying. It's I don't know.
You know, even a 747 looks small in an airplane hangar. You know, I mean.
Oh, he had an airplane hanger. He had the whole hanger. It was brutal.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
That's a great story, man.
Well, you're right on the percentage. You know, it's got to be a give and take deal. And, again, we could all sit here and rehash all the mistakes that we've made. I mean, I know you. Even though you have won the fight of keeping your marriage together, you look back and you can think of 1,000 different things you would rather do a different way.
Oh, God, yeah. Like get married. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Just,
I love you, Nicole.
She's going to bust through this door before this podcast is over. But at the end of the day, as a man, it's rectifying it. It's giving the example, being the example for the kids and making sure you put a decent kid back into society, because that kid, even as an adult, is going to be somebody else's problem one day.
And then that person's going to be somebody else's father at one point.
That's right. Hopefully. And you want to make sure that they're a decent father to their kids.
Or somebody else's mother at one point.
We're faced in society with a society that wants to feminize, if we're just going to talk about boys for a minute, wants to feminize the boys. And it's not just society, it's not just the media or the news or entertainment, it is what they put in our food.
Yep.
It is the things they say are popular. It's men really need to get in touch with their feelings. If you care about women, you need to be a part of the feminist movement or whatever. and have really torn down the idea of being a man.
But hold on. I'm not okay with that, but I'm a believer that a man should be in touch with his feelings. We should not be held to that bottle it up and be a man, you know?
Yeah.
We've got issues as well.
No,
Let me break this down. So, you know, you started this out by saying, you know, homeless Mike, you know, stayed on my couch, whatever. That was probably the lowest part of my life.
Yeah.
Because it was your couch, but just
I get it. I remember.
I'm not going to lie, that couch gave me a horrible
crib. You were at your lowest because you were in a rock band.
Well, yeah, the J6, baby. Woo!
We created our own band on the game rock band.
Oh, my God.
It was called the Jackson 6. It was me, Homeless Mike, and my buddy Opie. And so that's
great.
Where your music career had taken you. That's why it was the lowest point in your life.
That's a bad spot. But yeah.
Pay the bills.
That was literally, I had gone through some shit, and I had been kicked out of my house. Literally, all it takes, I don't know if you know this, but all it takes is for a woman to tell a cop, he hit me, gone to jail. Yep. Got to be no proof, no
that,
nothing, just
happened
words.
To you.
That happened to me. So I got thrown in jail for the night, got out, and shortly after that, that's when I started bouncing around couches. I was your couch. I was, I don't know if it's okay to say, but there was a couch in Birmingham in a little condo in downtown Birmingham where a northern person had come down and stayed for a little while.
What are you talking about? Why is that
elaborate,
not okay to say?
Elaborate.
I want the deets.
Well, you know the deets,
spill
buddy.
Spill the tea.
No, I don't know.
I believe her name was Jen.
Okay.
So we wound up staying on her couch for a little bit. Then I stayed at my sister's house for a little bit. But that point in my life, man, there were I know 2 to 3 solid months of bouncing around on couches.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I had was my car and the clothes that were on my back that I was allowed to leave with.
Yeah.
Other than that, I had to acquire new everything. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, I acquired my now incredible wife, Amber.
Right.
She bounced around on the couches with me.
God, that stuff sounds like.
You see what I said there?
Nice.
It seems like, as you're describing this, I'm like, it seems like a lifetime ago.
Oh, God.
Dude, I mean, it really was.
I don't even remember half of this stuff, but it's like.
I mean, that was what, 2010,
2011-ish
in that area?
Wow.
But so during that time, you know, we come from going to couches and couches and couches, and we wound up at her sister's house, Ashley's. Mm-hmm. And then they wound up in an argument. During that time, I was working. I had worked at a cell phone store. I got fired from said cell phone store because I was broke, and I was borrowing money out of the drawer. They said it was stealing. But no. Hear me out.
I was
gonna. Well, no, it is, and I see that now. But so I returned every week, and it wasn't much. It wasn't much. It was $20 or $30, and it was literally just enough to walk next door and buy me a hamburger or something for the day because I was broke.
Right.
Once I got fired from there, that's when I hit you up, and you got me on at Banker.
Yeah.
Banker. Yeah. So, and I worked there. That's the only job I've ever had where I worked for minimum wage.
Really?
Right. And
the one that I hired
it was
you for.
Miserable. And I was working in a warehouse with one of those fans that's got the little water that comes through the fins and shit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
and that was, by the way, what was minimum wage back then?
Dude, it was $7.15.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it hasn't fucking changed.
Oh, it's not? Is it still at
$7.50?
It's $7.25.
What's the minimum? Is it $7.25?
$7.25.
Yeah, how sad is that? You're talking about 20 plus years ago.
So that's not sad, John. That's fucking perfect. Because $7.25 is not meant to fucking live off of. It's meant to establish yourself and move forward. That's what it's meant for. It's not meant to afford your damn apartment or anything like that. It's meant for a stepping stone.
What I'm not saying that anybody should get paid, you know, $15 an hour to work at McDonald's. Okay.
No.
But
they
but
can't even get my well, man.
What I am saying, what I am saying is that if you're structuring a minimum wage for a person in the United States of America to establish themselves off of, to use your words, that wage should be a direct reflection of what's going on in the United States of America.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
I disagree.
Well, and here's the reality of it. That was a different time back then.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to find anybody really offering minimum wage to adults because they're not going to find anybody. You keep up with inflation and the way things have been after COVID and everything else, you know, it's hard to get people to work in the first place.
How many people actually work for minimum wage now?
It's probably so rare.
It's going to be your kids in school that are working at Jack's.
If that.
Well, hell, not even that, because when Jet was working at Jack's, dude, he was making like $9 an hour.
Yeah, see, you know? There may not be anybody making minimum wage.
As a 16-year-old living at a house, not having any bills, $9 an hour?
Yeah.
He had a drug habit.
Things have gotten crazy.
Yeah, I remember when I was 16, minimum wage, when I started at a Hardee's doing fries and stuff, it was $4 even.
Oof. Yeah. That's brutal.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm saying is that if they're calling it a minimum wage based off of what it cost to exist, then they should bump it up a little bit.
In 2024. Maybe. Yeah.
I have to disagree. I actually agree with Mike. I'm a businessman. I get it. You can raise minimum wage to whatever you want. If you raise it up to $15, you're going to have a $20 Big Mac. You raise it up to $20, you're going to have $30.
No, I do agree. So here's the thing. Is that cycle caused by what you're paying somebody, or is that cycle caused by what things cost?
It's
caused by regulations and policies by government,
right,
which therefore sets the minimum wage. However, when you restrict capitalism from doing what it's supposed to do in competition, it tends to sway things the way they're going now with inflation, to where you
absolutely
have no choice but to pay more.
Thanks, government. Thanks, buddy.
No, I mean, I totally agree with that. But that's
thanks,
I guess
Obama.
That's what I'm
thanks,
saying.
Obama.
Everything else has
inflated. Remember that guy?
And they're not changed. So sure. It's like we're stuck in this perpetual cycle, where you got, no, it's so cliche to say, but the rich just get richer
this day and age. And I'm not trying to go into economics here because we're talking about being a man, but that is this economy.
Mm-hmm.
It is like today, Wall Street had a great day, right, Tony? Big day for stocks. That is the wealthier people getting richer, and then the lower class, lower economic class
of
people.
How's my Dogecoin doing?
Is barely able to afford bread and milk.
Well,
and
let's just say it like this. So I'm not going to give you guys numbers, but I will say that I haven't made below six figures in probably the last 10 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it does not feel like I make. If I would have made this money back in 2010,
right,
we're talking totally different lifestyle.
Yeah, we're all probably making more money than we did 4 years ago, and yet we're still living the same.
Well,
that we're talking about,
right,
that's it's hard to be that when you think like every single day I'm putting everything I possibly can into being this provider,
mm-hmm,
but the world just wants to keep me where I am. And
right,
make it harder to do that providing thing that we're talking about.
Yeah.
John, let me say this. So you brought up something. So when I was 18 years old, I was contracting with my uncle doing telecommunication. As an 18-year-old kid, and that's what I was. I was a damn irresponsible kid. As an 18-year-old kid, I brought in, and this is my whole tax reason because I was 1099, but I brought in, it was like $135,000 as an 18-year-old kid.
Yep.
That's bad news.
I was living in my mom's house, okay? I had all kinds of money. I have more money now, and I make just as much, if not a little bit more, but I have more money now because I look at money differently than not everybody, but some people. Money is a tool.
Yep.
You have to be smart with your money. You can make $60,000, $70,000 a year and be rich. Not wealthy, but you can be rich.
Yeah. Well, that term rich, I don't think that is based off of material things, though.
No, rich is a feeling.
Yep.
Rich is what touches your soul and makes you happy and want to wake up and not chew on a fucking Springfield.
Right. Well, and also, if you will go to bed every night watching Dave Ramsey because your wife puts it on her cell phone, and that actually helps.
Speaking from a true story.
No, just hypothetical.
Hypothetically,
like, you know, I mean, it might help you manage your money a little bit.
Is she trying to do a subliminal message?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Dude, his voice just irks me.
It is what it is. I don't care at the end of the day if she'll, you know, watch a Trump speech from time to time with me. It's whatever.
Well, isn't his philosophy live as poor as you possibly can and pay off all of your debt?
Yeah. During a period of time, yeah.
So that when you're old and decrepit, you can finally have a good life?
Yeah. I think the good strategy is to go with, you know, take certain advice from Dave Ramsey and then make your own hybrid and kind of,
I love it.
Because his plan works if you do it. You know, the right way.
Yeah.
But everybody's different. Everybody's making different amount of money, so on and so forth. So it's,
I don't know, but again,
it's part of being a man.
I'd like to know how Billy Ray Jesus made it to his status.
You know, I was thinking today when I was getting ready, I even asked Trish, I'm like, what should I wear? Because I don't want to get to the point where I don't have a giant wardrobe, but I don't want to get to a point where I'm coming on this podcast wearing the same thing all the time.
Yeah,
right.
And when I got this originally, I wore it one time on the podcast, and we actually talked about Billy Ray Jesus.
I watched it, yeah.
And I was like, what if I go with that again tonight? She said, do it. You look beautiful in it.
You look great, by the way.
I caught some heat, not for this shirt, but for a podcast we did on Billy Ray Jesus.
Yeah. Dude, those people are such goobers, man.
One of his church members, who I was an acquaintance of previously, years ago, reached out to me and started attacking me.
Dude,
How dare you?
You nailed it.
Wait a minute. They're a cult.
Wait a minute. That's the little church that's north of me.
So this is a real thing?
Yeah. No, so
you
that's,
don't know the story
that's
on
the,
this?
No,
it's
no.
The Church International at a Warrior. Like they're buying all of Warrior up and like doing all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah,
with
so
it,
it's a church, a guy and a cult. His wife and family or whatever, they have this church in Warrior, and then all of a sudden they started getting this international following. They got hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube.
What?
People all over the world.
Staff he comes out with.
And he's very in the spiritual realm, and he's also hyper political with a lot of his messaging.
Wow.
Big Trump guy, everything else, cool, you know, I like that. Yeah. But in this little town of Warrior, he started buying up a tremendous amount of property in that town.
You know, he bought up Lonius, right?
Yes, yeah. I know. And so as he's buying all these stores and properties, if he's a church, hey, that's tax-free, cuzzy.
Wow.
What does that do to the tax income for that city? And also, people are like, if I'm not going to this church, like, I don't want them owning the town that three generations of my family grew up in.
Wow.
So you can understand their concern.
Yeah.
But he looks like he's got a Billy Ray Cyrus vibe.
Yeah. Oh, there's no vibe. That's a doppelganger.
On the What's Happening in Warrior page, they started calling him this. And then next thing I know, my mom got one made and sent it to me.
Oh, that's wow.
And if he was smart, he would get these made as well and start selling them.
Oh, No kidding.
Absolutely.
Because you're not doing that as a dig to him. I mean that's a fascinating
thing. Yeah,
I didn't make it, sure.
But that's fascinating. I had no idea that was going on. I'm going to do some research tonight.
It's insane, man.
Yeah, we've got an episode on it.
So we're fixing to have another, what is it? Not Waco, but what was the...
It gives you Waco vibes.
Does it give you Waco vibes? Yeah, I was thinking of the other guy, the Hindi guy from... Oh, man. I can't remember. It's a Netflix documentary.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The guy's with the 36 Rolls Royces or whatever it was.
So my wife doesn't know who Kevorkian is.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You need to wake her up.
I made a Dr. Kevorkian joke last night. She's like, I don't get it.
So there
She's younger than you too, right?
They're selling shirts on the What's Happening in Warrior page. At least I've seen previously, and it says Warrior, not Waco.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm the only one, you know, wearing
it's
shirts related to that.
So speaking to the attire for tonight, you had actually thrown me off earlier today because we're in a group chat together, and Andrew,
do you have that one muted too?
No, just yours.
Well, you got him muted on your text?
No, we got a group message on Facebook, and him and Eduardo.
Eduardo.
Yeah, who's Eduardo? They were just talking one night back and forth, and the phone just kept dinging, and I was like, I'm going to mute this. I got to go to bed.
Yeah,
and
I forgot
to unmute it.
But
I'm sorry.
I don't want to derail your story, but the great thing about that other chat that I thought was freaking amazing is the other chat is called Just Dudes Being Dudes.
Yes, it is. Just... We need to add him.
Yeah, you should add me. I'm only in one kind of group chat that gets used on a regular basis. It's called the Shithole. It is myself,
nice.
Davos, Nathan Kirk, and J.D. Franklin.
Nice.
And we've had that one
for
a while.
I like J.D.
I miss
all
two guys. Of those guys. One of them I don't know.
Who?
I know Davos and J.D. Love
okay, you
both
don't know Nathan. Nathan's
yeah, I don't really
one.
Know Nathan.
JD, I like him, JD because he is kind of on his journey. Like
JD's a beautiful soul.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Love that.
He's
guy.
A great dude.
Love that guy.
Nathan owns Blount County Tactical. Remember with the big hubbub about the Let's Go Brandon tag?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But speaking on the attire for tonight, you had said in the text message, "Don't dress up. We're just guys hanging out," and I fought with that. Because
he cried.
I knew you would. That's why I brought it up. I got to tell him.
Well, because for me, this is not dressed up. This is self-love. This is something that part of me in my journey that I'm on.
Self-love I do on the toilet.
It's one of those things that I don't feel dressed up. I feel like this is just me. Mm. So... to appreciate myself and the work that I put into being the man that I am, this is the way I dress.
Right.
And it's not for anybody else. It's not for women. It's for me.
Right.
And I know that clothes don't make the man and all that kind of stuff. That's not what this is about. But I made the decision because it was like, well, I'm either going to wear what I normally would wear, or I'm going to wear workout clothes. And I didn't, you know. If that's
like
what,
Andrew's already going to be doing that. So.
That's exactly what I said.
I know. Listen, self-love is great. I think it's a great thing. I mean, obviously, you only want to do it so much. You don't want to self-love yourself to completion in front of other people.
No. I agree with that.
But no, it's a good thing.
That'd be over the line.
Yeah. So it's I think it's important, probably important for guys to kind of take care of themselves and make them feel good about themselves. Obviously, I am in a little bit better shape than I was two years ago.
I want to say this. You look fucking fabulous,
thank
dude.
You.
I'm not trying to build you up or anything, but I
look for any opportunity to do this number right here.
To bust out the guns.
Look at the guns.
You got
a permit for that thing, buddy.
Look at the guns.
Yeah, so.
I'm not pulling my sleeve up.
I want to tell you something.
You got muscles bigger
than me. And I may have said this to you before, but I want you to know something. I'm proud of you, buddy.
Oh.
No homo, right?
No. There's homo in there, and I'm okay with that. But... Dude, we've all got our own paths and our own history that we've been down and been through.
Yeah.
I was playing on the old facial space the other day.
Facial space.
And I saw there was one point where you were doing a small stint, right? And during that time, me and old Opie, we decided that we would rep the orange and white for you.
Yeah, I remember
Ooh.
That. Yeah.
And I actually come across a post where I said,
Gervals.
I can't even say it now.
I remember it was yesterday.
But it's because we love you. You know, yeah. you've come so far, man. And yeah. you're an inspiration. You're an inspiration.
I remember the days of Cam Frog in the basement.
Now, with Homeless Mike, what he's talking about is back to your lowest point in your life. That was me. And then we ended up pulling the nose up, and I was able to get into radio, which is all I ever wanted to do, but couldn't do it because I, you know, just didn't have it together. But before that, before the lowest point, we were doing something called Camp Frog, which was a program
CCFM.
On the internet that
Captain Charisma.
It was essentially
God. I wonder how many people
video,
would know about that
video chat room, and people go in this chat room. You got your own webcam, blah blah blah. We built a studio in my basement and created a little online radio station. And this was before podcasts were a thing.
Yep.
And we would broadcast once a week, and we would do everything from play music that we didn't own to doing stunts. We were waterboarding each other in my basement. We were tasing each other.
Crazy things.
We had celibacy homeless Mike. We had a celibacy bet, which he cheated, by the way.
I didn't cheat.
And because he cheated, because he lied about whether or not he had sex, we had CCFM, Captain Charisma FM court.
Oh,
and
Lord.
We had attorneys, and we had defense attorneys, and it was a whole thing. Like, one of the guys...
God, that was so much fun.
ST, a guy we call ST, he was one of the attorneys, and he had a stuffed bear, and he goes, show me on the bear where Homeless Mike touched you. Like, it was a whole thing. And, God, I wish I still had this stuff.
Oh, man.
We had one point where we had Homeless Mike on the side of the interstate in Trussville, dressed nice, almost in a suit.
To the nine, man.
He was dressed to the nine. He had a dry erase board, and he had written, "Homeless, please help." And people were passing by him throwing garbage at him because here's a guy who's obviously not homeless. Little did they know. And they were mad.
Yeah, I pulled these clothes out of a trash bag.
They were mad that he was out here panhandling for money. Like, we did so much stuff. Even Teapot took a dump.
He dressed up as me one year for Halloween.
I did, actually.
It was great.
We even had, because my neighbor, where that studio was throwing trash into our yard over the fence, we had... Live on the show, Teapot, everybody, Teapot, climb over the fence and take a dump in the neighbor's yard live on the show.
Like,
straight up.
That was him?
Yeah. That was it.
That was him. I can't remember.
Wild.
Why did they? Okay. I was trying to remember why we called him Teapot. Now I remember.
Yeah, because he's short and stout.
Short and stout. That's it. That was a name like a high school football coach gave him.
Oh, I thought it was a dick thing.
No,
I don't think so.
Wait, no, hang on. Am I remembering that wrong? Couldn't that dude like suck his own dick or something?
That's like Teabag or something.
No, that is not.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. You're probably thinking of somebody else.
It's not me.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Hey.
Listen, you just right. You can't. You
I
gotta
can
be
see
careful.
A lot more of it nowadays.
Okay, because you better hope he doesn't watch this, because you know that's a pretty bold accusation to just wrongfully tag somebody with.
I don't think he'd be mad if he got wrongfully tagged and I could suck my own dick.
Listen, a lot of time has passed, my friend.
So I'm over here handing out praises and stuff. I want to give you a praise, John.
Now that you're finished talking about S-ing your own D.
Yeah, we've built up cap.
Oh, we can't talk about stuff like
that?
No,
it can.
I want to give you praise, man. So you stepped on stage and did a comedy act.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hate I missed the one at the brewing company. It didn't work out timing-wise. But man, I want to say I am super proud of you for that. You did an amazing job.
Really did.
I could see it in your face, and you could hear it in your volume escalation of your nerves on stage.
Oh, God, man. Nerve-wracking.
But you nailed it.
Nerve-wracking.
You need to keep pursuing that.
Actually,
that's an avenue for you.
Yeah.
Shout out to David Lynam and RJ for the comedy break-in, because those guys are doing something really, really special in Birmingham right now, and they're trying their best to bring some sort of comedy scene, because you know Birmingham has gone through ebbs and flows. You know, our music scene has come and gone and it's trying to come back now, and the comedy scene is, I don't think it's really ever really been here, but they're trying to really start something up, and man, they're doing a fantastic job. They actually got something new going on Sunday nights now. I think it's at Velma's in Trussell.
Yep,
I'm going to go try that one.
You're the first comedian to be on this podcast. It's actually been one of our aspirations to bring a comedian on. And I was thinking about...
You set the bar low.
I was thinking about reaching out to David Lynam and getting him to send one this way. I'd reached out to a couple
of
guys.
We might be able to get David.
Yeah, I'd like to have him on.
I could ask,
believe
David
it or not,
it.
I've had him on my radio show when I was at my very first station, because Lynam was doing a show out there, and I reached out to him. And
was
he
that
came
the old AM station?
David.
Yeah.
David. I think David. There's some people that I guess everybody has people that they rub the wrong way, and it just whatever. But to me, David's just a stand-up guy.
David's a super cool
dude. He is one of the nicest people that I've met. He's funny. As a comic, I think he's incredible. I think he's one of those types of people that, talking about being a man, whatever he sets his mind to, he is going to be successful at it.
He's a hustler.
He's a hustler for sure.
I was surprised that he recognized me when we were out there at your show, because he's like, "Oh man, what's up?" And I hadn't seen the guy. And now, of course, maybe he was just being nice to the people that were there and just telling me hi, thank you for coming. But he's always been a good dude.
I think he's legitimately just a nice
guy.
He really is.
I want to point out the camera deal here. I keep having to move this because he's putting it in his shot.
I think he wants it in his shot.
Big John, you have done a phenomenal job standing in the middle of your camera.
I got my tape.
Homeless Mike has done an awful job. He is going down and he's going over. He's done everything he can to stay out of the camera.
He keeps feeding me bourbon too, I may end up.
Yeah, I keep my glass over here, so he's just
at some point
keeps me out of it. Let's get back to being a man, though. When I think of the term "be a man," I think about something I discovered on TikTok probably a year or so ago, and it's an account called. Well, that's probably not a bad thing. It's called Boston Be a Man, and it is. I think the origins of this is just some guys that had like an uncle or a dad that just made funny comments about what it is to be a man.
I think you're right.
And they take this just little short TikToks and they say, he'll say, "Do such and such, be a man." And it is some of the funniest stuff. And I'm like, if I need a video to describe what being a man is, this may be it. I know we're talking about serious stuff and everything else, but he hits the nail on the head.
Dude, square.
Look, watch some of this right here. We got some. This is going to be a man best of stuff.
When you see a bad driver, always assume it's a woman.
I didn't laugh at that.
Yes,
even
you
did. Even if you don't get there any faster, take a million shortcuts so you don't have to sit in traffic. Be a man.
Yeah. Oh, that's us.
If you help your buddy move and he pays you in pizza, smash him off the head with it. Be a man.
This is great.
Trouble sleeping? Drink booze until you pass out.
Oh, yes.
That's it, yes. Baby.
Be
That's
a man.
It.
Yeah.
You get one of those shirts.
If you've been dating a girl for 10 years, never buy her a ring. Be a man.
Whoa, I feel attacked.
Wow.
I like that one.
Invite a hooker to your family dinner and tell everybody she's your girlfriend. Be a man.
I've done that.
Don't let anybody ruin your day. Ruin it yourself.
Yeah, God, that's accurate. That's fucking accurate.
That's good. That's good.
That is accurate. Gosh.
Oh, it's so
shit.
Never use the word. Back it up.
Never use the word feces. Call it shit.
Back it up.
Jeez. Call it shit.
There we go.
Never use the word feces. Call it shit. Be a man.
Oh, these are so good. Call it shit.
Show up at your wedding shit-faced. Be a man.
That was wedding number two.
Oh, Lord.
I believe that,
you had
actually
to be for that one.
That was part of the problem with me. When you finish a home improvement project, stand there with a beer and stare at it for hours.
Yes. Yes. Be a man.
Absolutely. That's it, baby.
When you go camping with your family, don't hang out with them. You're going to fall the entire time. Be a man.
That's great.
That's good.
Oh, man. You're so dead on.
Spend all your money on shit that's going to kill you.
Yes.
Be a man.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Yes.
Cheers to that.
Drink one beer, then drink another, then another, then another. Be a man.
I think this guy should be my uncle.
Hand dig its grave. After all, he was your best friend. Be a man.
Man.
Oh.
Why do you have to end it on my side?
Don't do that. No.
Whispa, if I was your man, you wouldn't be doing this for a living, baby. Be a man.
Oh, I love strippers. God, I love strippers.
Don't let someone know how much they mean to you until it's too late. Be a man.
God. Oh, that's so good.
That last one. That last one. So I don't agree with the last one. I agree with everything else.
I love you guys.
Yes. Yeah. Like, so
you're my brothers.
Oh man.
One of the things that I can attribute to the being married one time is
why don't you just brag about it, buddy?
Yeah, I'll brag about it.
I've been married only once. It's first time.
That's true. Tony's in that group too.
It's a brag. It's a brag.
It's a reason to brag.
No, it absolutely should be. Me and Cap are both failures.
Yeah. Well, we really are.
So I'm just not gonna acknowledge it. But
you did good.
I don't think you're.
You can congratulate.
I don't think
yourself.
You're a failure.
No, I'm not. I'm smart.
But that is because I have made it a point to work on me.
And be a man.
Well, be a man. But so
be a man.
Just like the weight loss stuff that we're talking about, you have to do things as a man because you cannot just the problem is when in a marriage when people think that the sexual part of marriage, right? They're like, well, she's just not wanting to participate anymore. She's not interested in having sex with me and things like that. And they try to put all the burden back on the woman, right?
Yeah.
They try to, that it's something wrong with her. And it's like, well, no, it's not. Because the problem is that men feel more connected to a woman when they can be physical with a woman. And a woman has to feel connected to a man in order to want to be physical.
If your wife doesn't want to have sex, do it yourself. Be a man.
That should be a shirt.
Toilet time.
But, you know, so one of the things that I've been doing is a lot of work on me.
Yeah.
And something that I found that helps me a lot is the early morning. You know, I've always gotten up early just because of what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking that time because you listen to all these successful people that talk about their most productive part of the day is that time between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and 6 a.m.
I have no idea what that even looks like.
So I get up at 4 a.m. every morning, and I've been doing it for the last 10 years of my life. And only over the last 5 years, I've been using that time to meditate and to really, really focus on what I need to be a better person. Not just be a better man, but be a better friend, be a better husband, be a better father. All these, just whatever it is,
yeah.
All these things kind of come into play. And one of the things that kept coming up in that early morning meditation was you're doing all these things mentally to be a good man, but you're not taking care of yourself physically. And it just kept nagging and kept nagging and kept nagging at me. And it was just like, it's time to do something. It's time to change. It's time to start taking care of yourself. A little bit of self-love like we talked about.
Well, and it's returning love to your family as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's part of
this.
They
get the best version of me now. They get this high energy, loving, caring, you know, you said something earlier, and it's true. I do think that men should be in touch with their feelings. I do. I don't think that men should be emotionally driven creatures because we're not built that way.
Somebody's got to have the logic.
I'm, you know, it's an unpopular opinion nowadays, but I do think that gender roles are still something that we should appreciate. But that being said, like, I still help out around the house with the chores, whatever needs to be done, you just
bro,
do it.
Bro, you can and please don't take that the way it sounded. You can be in touch with your emotions and not be emotionally driven.
Right.
You as men, we need to be driven by ambition, by pride, because we're prideful creatures. That's what we are. We're proud of everything we do. And that shows in the way you dress, in the way you speak. I hear it in your voice as you talk on the radio. It's a pride thing. Yeah. And for me, I don't know what the hell it is. But no, we need to be – you have to know that you've got that emotion inside of you. You have to deal with it. There has to be people you can talk to about it.
Yep.
But no, you cannot be emotionally driven. You're allowed to have that, but you can't let it make your decisions for you.
Get in touch with your emotions. but don't be gay.
Right.
Be a man.
No
a
homo. Man.
And can I say, you want to talk about, you know, really being proud of something, that vape that Big John's using, that is the loudest vape I've ever heard in the studio.
It's a loud vape, dude.
Every 5 minutes, we're like.
It's also because I hold it right here, and I don't actually put it all the way in my mouth because that's gay.
Yeah, that is yes, gay. You're just
that
the
is
tip.
Gay.
Just
that
the
is
tip.
Gay. So, but yeah, everybody, yeah, I think we're all on the same page.
Andrew's professional. He puts his shit way over here.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I vape all day, every day, and I'm around the microphone for half of my day. So
yes, sir.
I know how to do it. But yeah, all of these great points. And I think we're all kind of on the same page when it comes to what is a man. We've expressed importance when it comes to raising kids and being an example. Mm-hmm. And then as you're talking about now, being a husband that is not only the provider, but understanding. And one of the big parts is making your wife feel loved.
Yep.
And you may get into situations where you don't feel like it's reciprocated. Like you're like, oh, and then it starts in your head like, why should I, you know, do this? Why should I make them feel loved when they don't make me feel loved? And that's when you start doing the back and forth and justifying why you're not going to do it, yep, then it ends up kind of collapsing.
That's why it
deal.
Has to be for you. It can't be for somebody else. You have to just know that what I'm doing for me is something that needs to be done, number one. And it's something that even if right now in this moment I don't get the instant gratification for the work that I'm putting in, eventually she's going to understand. And I'll tell you, recently, a lot of things have changed between my wife and I just because of the work that I'm putting into myself. And then without – this is the first time in our marriage that I haven't done something – and kind of just expected her to follow along. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You just did it on your own.
In the past, I've done things, and I'm kind of like, okay, now it's your turn to, like, work on you, and let's both get better together. And this time, I've just completely left that alone, and I'm like, I'm doing this for me.
It never works when you do that.
It doesn't work because you have an ulterior motive. And, well,
they feel obligated.
They feel obligated. They feel your ulterior motive. They know, like, well, he's doing this because he expects me to. If you just leave all that alone and you just do this because it's something you want and you want to feel better about yourself as a man, it's amazing that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these things just start happening. And they're little things at first, and then it just keeps growing. And, like, our relationship right now, do you know how many years it's been since I have walked in the door and had her run to me and jump into my arms? Like, that just happened when I came home today.
Amber, listen, I just want you to take note. Nicole runs to him.
Yeah. When your wife jumps at you, move out of the way. Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
No, dude. Don't do that.
So just affirming.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, dude.
After all these years, you're that excited to see me after I've been gone.
That's one thing I point out to Trish, too. It's like,
my dog does that to me.
I know, dogs are so amazing.
Your dog doesn't do that to me. It made me crap my pants last time I came to your house.
I thought y'all were going to fall down the stairs, dude. I felt so bad.
But I tell her the same thing.
Is that
the one
that licks peanut? Never mind.
When I come into the house and, you know, she greets me with a smile, like, that makes all the difference, you know?
Yep.
Even if, you know, something's going haywire, and it's fine. If you're having a bad day or whatever, and the first thing you do when I walk in the door is complain, it's okay. But, like, if you can do it,
yeah,
a smile on your face will change my entire day.
Something that I had to have a serious discussion with my wife about was, as men, our problem is we want to fix things, right? And sometimes they just want you to listen. But there is a catch to that. Because if what I'm listening to every single day of your existence is negativity about what it is that you're doing. So she was coming home on a regular basis complaining about what was going on at work. And with her, and this is something that we talked about, I was like, it's a pattern, because I've watched this happen with every single job that you've had, and then it always starts out great, and then it gets to this point where you're just not happy. And so my thing is, if I have to be the one and the kids have to be the one to receive the negative part of this, what you got?
I just have a question.
Go ahead.
Hey, go. Mike's got his hand up. Go ahead,
yeah,
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
I just have a question.
That's a very polite way to interrupt. So
I'm asking because we're both in the same field, right?
Right.
As far you're a superintendent, I'm a supervisor.
I'm a radio show host.
You're a god.
You're a superintendent, you're a supervisor, and I'm a super radio show host.
Yes. Superman.
Leland who?
Superman.
All right, so serious question. You said as a man, you just want to fix things. How do you
He's hiding his mic.
Yeah.
Hey, you hit your vape like Homeless Mike is hitting his face during this entire podcast.
Yes, I've done it. I'm trying to find my spot. So how do you, like, when you go home, at work all day, every day, I fix things. I'm the guy that answers the questions, that asks the questions. Sometimes I'm answering my own questions. But like, I'm always making the decision. And I'm asking you for advice. How do you maintain that when you get home? Like, I can't. I get
in
home
the sense of
and,
what?
And she's like, well, so
I know what he's saying.
Okay. Amber's like, hey, what do you want for dinner? I don't fucking know.
I've made decisions all fucking day.
Right.
Yeah, like, I've made these decisions. I've said, hey, this is what we're doing. You make a decision. How do you maintain that throughout the day when you get home?
And before you answer, I get the same thing, because sometimes I'll get home, Trisha had a good day or whatever, and she's super chatty.
Yeah.
And then she looks at me, she's like, why aren't you responded? And then she will immediately realize, oh, you just spent your day doing a radio show and a podcast, you've been talking all day. So it's kind of the same thing, so I get it.
Because how many words a day does a man actually have? And there a statistic that shows. Do you know that, Tony?
I can find out.
Find out.
Tony knows all the stats.
It's a number. No, it's a number. A man only has so many words a day. And Andrew, doing what you do, you probably use up all of those before you get home. So I can imagine that's a struggle to get home and want
to
have.
Is it possible for me to get over that number? Because I think I probably
so
do.
So that means you're in debt.
No, I think, I'm in word debt. You can get over that number. The problem that
396, is that right?
That's how many participants.
Oh.
Where is it?
16,000.
16,000 words per day.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. But think about how many words you speak. Especially you, because of what you do. You're probably hitting that number before lunch, buddy.
I mean, probably 10% of them are the word socialism.
Well, he's got Donald
and Trump,
Biden, and poop.
There's a lot of Trump, a lot of poop.
You need to get a word counter.
Wait a minute. Did you order the shoes?
I wish.
Dude, that would have been so cool.
I'd be wearing them right now. Absolutely so cool. Love those. But anyway, the number of words.
Shoes?
How many? Donald Trump's got his own shoes now.
God.
It's amazing.
Great,
they immediately sold out. They're wild. And they're gold.
Oh, I got to get some.
So, see how quick you changed your mind?
Yeah. Already. Exactly. I got to have some.
So, the word thing. Men speaking so many words a day. Oh, did you make your point already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I missed it. Anyway,
No, I was just asking him for advice.
No. See, so what he's asking is something that I struggle with, too. So, it's not just you. It's any person that's in a position like we are where you are the
decision maker.
Yeah. You have to be that man all day long. When you come home, you want to be able to turn that off. You want to be able to just let me exist. Let me just exist in my happiness in this life that I've built. Let me exist in my home.
In my self-love.
Yeah, my self-love. Let me have dinner. I'm not, you know, I've never been one of those guys that expects dinner on the table when I come home. That's never been me, because I actually love to cook. So for me, that's one of the ways that I show love to my family, is I like to cook for them. It's also been a struggle, too.
You're making me feel like crap, John.
Mm. Well, no. So hang on. That's a double-edged sword, because I am a really good cook. Not trying to, but I'm a really good cook. And because I'm such a good cook, she doesn't want to cook because she thinks that the food that she makes isn't as good as my food.
Yeah, Trish gives me that spiel, too. She talks about my cooking. It's really good.
And so I tell her, like, that's not the point at all of what we're talking about. It's not a we're not, you know, Gordon Ramsay. I'm not going to judge your food. I just want to eat something you've made because it's a way you show appreciation.
Yes.
To me for what
and it's
I
a
do.
Bonus that it's good.
Yeah. It's a bonus. If it's good, great. And you guys, you are a great cook.
Guys, I just want to say something.
Go ahead.
Y'all make me feel like crap.
Well, tell us
so
why.
You well, let me tell you why.
He comes home and throws his clothes in the floor. And
no, I don't do that. So, years
he's
ago.
He's like, it's time.
Woman, get ready.
Woman, get over here.
No,
get the knee pads.
Years
get
ago.
Over here.
And dude, I feel so bad because my wife, Amber, she's said something about this. So I know it means something to her. But like years ago, I used to, and if you remember, hell, I'd come to your house and would grill out and shit. And
yeah.
Like that was my thing. I loved grilling. Dude, I ain't cooked anything.
Yeah, it is so weird that I've come to your house so many times.
Well, I know. And, dude, it makes me feel so bad. And like, I don't know what it is.
Amber is slinging meat on the grill.
Okay, I get this. Because when last football game I came to your house and watched, Aubie cooked the hamburgers.
Everything. Yeah.
I brought them, or somebody, whatever.
And it's good food, too,
she
bud.
Put it on the, it was
oh, man.
Amazing.
God,
she I mean, she's incredible. She just, as a fucking human, she's incredible.
Well, again, it's the 20-80. It's the balance as long as, because, I mean, I'm sure you're pulling the 80% sometimes, and as long as Aubie enjoys cooking.
Dude, I feel like she pulls the 80 most of the time. Yeah, so, I really do.
It may be.
So that's kind of what I'm talking, so in order for her not to
so
feel
is she
like,
gonna leave me
no
I yes
think, I don't think
oh soon my as she, god soon as she watches this it's over
oh my god
so no I think that as long as you realize that there's work to be done that was the whole thing with me I realized there's more work to be done here.
All right, so what do?
You work.
What, John?
You fucking work.
Well, yeah. You're telling me
be
to
a
read
man.
A book.
Be
what
a man.
Book?
There's
like,
no
what
book.
What do I do? What do I do to work?
Well,
how
it goes
do I
back.
Fix me?
He mentioned something about getting home and pulling your dick out and waving it around.
Well, it's more like.
If I'm being honest, and I don't have any scientific proof that it works because I don't think it has so far. But sometimes I'm just being stupid at the house, and you know, you do that. You're just like, you know. Being weird.
You wave your dick.
Yeah. And they don't find
oh
it attractive.
Oh my god. Hey.
You know?
No.
Do you remember the time?
Women don't think penises are attractive.
No,
like,
do
like,
not.
Do you remember the time I did the wristband at your house?
The
or
wrist
or the wristwatch.
I'm scared now.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
I did the wristwatch. I do remember that in your basement.
That okay. is not so, a that is not a wristwatch. That's a half bracelet. That's a
and I'm dead serious about this. We're running out of time, but for the sake of not seeing like I'm seeming like I'm trying to cop out on this, I want you to explain.
All right. So basically it's just where you take the male anatomy
flaccid
and you pull it around your wrist, right?
Wow.
And you make it go all the way around and touch, and then you show it like a wristwatch.
Yeah.
That's like the
his doesn't go all the way around.
I had a smaller wrist back then.
But you've built it up over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
So what I would say to you is do your meditation. Honestly, think about what you...
Me and you's going to talk after this.
Yeah, think about what you can do to be a better version of you. Because if you feel like you're lacking at all, no matter what it is, if you're lacking
in
your
relationship. I don't feel like it. I know it. There's a difference.
Okay. So then it's time. It's a call to action. It's a time to put the work in. It's a time to do something. Andrew,
and when he talks about time, he says, check your wristwatch.
Wristwatch.
Yeah. Get a real watch, by the way.
I got one.
Be a man.
A cool guy.
A really cool guy has given you beautiful fucking watches.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he loves you.
But you're right. You're right.
So, we and you have been, like, you look great, by the way, too. You've lost a lot of weight.
You do. You're really cute.
You really do.
Thank you. I love you.
But it's the self-love. It's the being the best version of you, not for anybody else, for you, because you want to put this into the world, right? And so, in turn, because you are being the best version of yourself, all these other things start to just fall into place. There's nothing you have to do. If you feel like you're lacking, get to a point where you wake up every morning and you don't feel like you're lacking. I wake up every morning and I know 100% I'm the best version of me that I can be today. That's a good feeling. And the only way to do that is to realize that you are not that and do everything you possibly can to get there.
Yeah, if you wake up and you don't feel like the best version of yourself, decide at that moment what you're going to do that day to get you to that.
Yes,
I think that's good advice.
I want to say something. Next show, we're going to speak about something very personal.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm making a mental note, and we're going to talk about it.
Is it more personal than a skin watch?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We're all going to talk about
it. Is it
this.
Anal?
No.
Do you want to bring it up now, or you want to wait?
We have time.
No,
right?
I mean, not bring it up, but just like tell us what it is.
What do they call it? A prelude or whatever? I don't know the words. I suck at math, but whatever.
Yes, you do.
Actually, yes, no, I'm real good at math. I'm fast at math. I'm not good at math. But
it's a wrong answer, but he's fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
6 plus 9, 69.
One of the things on the next episode. Masturbation.
Okay.
We're getting deep.
I don't see why we shouldn't do that. I mean, at the end of the day.
Be a man.
I mean, be a man.
Jerk it.
Talk with your buddies about masturbation. Be a man.
Be a man.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Tony Gump, you got any final words, my friend?
Sure. Nobody ever asked me what I thought what a man was.
Oh,
hey, Tony.
Tony,
why
what do you think a man
is?
That?
Tony,
what
is
a man?
It to be a man?
I saw a man growing up. It was my father. He led by example.
Oh,
I
nice.
Never saw him smoke or drink. He stayed with my mom till she died, and he just showed me everything he knew possible, and I learned a lot, and it made it work out fine. He did a good job.
Yeah, that's one
Dude,
thing I can say
nice.
About that.
Textbook perfect.
Tony, I don't know. I never knew Tony's parents, but you can tell, like, he was in a growing up a very good spot. And what we were talking about, giving an example to your kid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This guy was in the cream of the crop when it comes to the cards dealt with parents.
I got to tell you, I was lucky because I was the youngest of five, and it was run kind of like a machine. Nobody could eat dinner until everybody's room was cleaned up. They just taught a lot about teamwork, a lot about leadership, and a lot about work
nice.
Ethic. And I just had that from the start, and it made my life so much easier. It could have been so much worse. And another thing I want to bring up, as I was growing up through high school, college, things like this, the women that didn't have a father figure at home seemed to be the loosey-goosey that go to all the parties and things like that and took chances, and they seemed to seek acceptance from a male
validation
figure.
Yeah,
right. So as long as the father's around and shows that they care and they're there just to hear them out and be a guide, you're not going to fall into those issues. That's things that I've seen in my life.
See, and I don't even care what y'all's final words are. I think Tony said it all.
Tony, the world needs more guys like you, and it's on us to make that happen.
Oh, well, thanks.
We got to make more Tonys?
Well, no, we're not making more Tonys. No. We got to make stories like what he just said.
Yeah.
Because
that's
heart-touching,
that.
and I love it.
My dad always told me something that's rang so true in my life. Every man only gets one great love in his life. Just one. That may not be the first one. May not be the second one, in your case.
Hopefully it's the third
Hopefully
one.
Hopefully it's the third. But think about that. Every man only gets one great love in his life. It's not your choice if they love you back, right? But you only get one.
I agree.
And you know exactly who that person is. When you meet them, you know exactly who they are. When they've been in your life, without a doubt, it's this person. So speaking to what he's talking about with his dad, being with his mother until she passed, my father and my mother got a divorce when I was 13 years old. And my dad, to this day, still tells me she was the love of my life. No, and he says it in front of his woman. I don't know how. They're still together. But
that's great.
He's like, that was mine. Mm. So just think about that, because it's true.
That's
it's
good.
Very true.
Homeless Mike, you got any final words you want to leave the people with?
Yeah.
You take your time, buddy.
Get in fucking frame.
This is your part of the show. Yes, and dude, you at least be in the frame while you do this.
I'm not going to hit my face.
All right, I'm ready.
Yeah,
everybody ready?
Right, use the peanut butter. Be a man.
Is this related?
We waited for that.
With the dogs and...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That Great Dane has a long tongue.
Yes, he does. Get a little backside Willy action on that one.
My dog doesn't like peanut butter.
Little salad tosser on the backside.
And don't forget to quit buying your kids so much crap and start teaching them something useful.
Yes.
That goes with the theme of everything else.
We stopped buying Christmas presents. We don't buy Christmas presents. We do something as a family.
Yes.
That's good.
We go somewhere. We make a memory.
Make memories.
Oh, it's the best.
All right.
Spend all that money on something fucking
useful in their life.
That's actually really good. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to leave, but when I leave, I say, see you, cuz. So everybody's got to say, see you, cuz, with
me. No. Well, yeah, but hold on.
What's cuz?
What's your final words?
Yeah.
That's it. We're going to say my final words together.
I'm just going to say, see you, cuz.
Let's see. Final words. I think it's all been said, but being a man is being a dad and being a husband and the best version of both of those that you can be. Pay attention to what you did wrong. Admit what you've done wrong.
Yes.
And promise yourself that you will fix it. Don't promise yourself. Just do it.
Do it.
Just fix it. Action. Do it different. You're going to make a million mistakes, but just make that mistake one time.
You can only make mistakes when you're trying.
That's right.
Yep.
Good stuff. All right, we're out of here. Y'all ready? Until next time.
See you later.
See
you.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna say until next time, then I'm gonna say see it, cuz, and we're all gonna do it together. Okay?
Oh.
Right. Are we on the same page?
Whoops.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Until next time.
See you, cuz!